An independent review of thoroughbred welfare has called for a national and enforceable strategy, and the Thoroughbred Aftercare Welfare Working Group, which is spearheaded by the former Victorian Premier and veterinarian Dennis Napthine, yesterday tabled 46 recommendations, Kingy. The Thoroughbred Breeders Australia Chief Executive is Tom Riley. Tom, welcome to SEN. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me on.
So this is nearly 2 years in the making, isn't it? This review was launched, I think, January last year. But what was the genesis of this review, Tom? What was the trigger that launched it, if you like?
Oh, look, I think a lot of people would have seen the ABC show, The Final Race, which had some really horrific images of horses being mistreated in an abattoir in Queensland. We felt, TBA felt, and a lot of other participants felt that there was a need. While there's lots of great work going on in the industry, you know, we've got an industry that's run at a state level, state by state. We needed to make sure that we looked across the whole country and that everything that could be done was being done, and that because of that state by state, because of that federated system, there weren't sort of, I guess, regulatory gaps. There weren't things that were falling through the cracks as a result of that. So it has taken a while, but in part that was because the panel received so many submissions. So when we started, we hoped we'd get sort of 50 or 60. We ended up getting 180, and the panel met with over 50 people or organisations as well. So a huge amount of work's gone into it. And if you see the report, it's 140 pages. Lots of quotes from leading people in the industry, from leading trainers, breeders, administrators. So it's a significant piece of work.
Yeah, and significant funding too. Betting agencies have funded it. Victoria and Brisbane racing clubs have got behind it financially as well, Tom. So we won't go through all 46 recommendations, of course, but what is the key takeaway from this review, would you say?
Look, I think the two sort of overarching elements are, one, standards. So at the moment, you know, if you've got cattle or sheep, there are standards the whole way across the country. We need national standards for all horses, so that there's a minimum level of care for all horses from their birth right through to their death. We also need to develop our own internal racing standards and breeding standards so that we can say to the public that this is the minimum acceptable level of care in our industry. So I think that's a really important thing. Traceability sort of comes into that as well, so that we know when horses leave racing, where they are, who's in charge of them. So we actually understand what happens to our thoroughbred population later in life much better than we do now. And the other element of it is about saying, how do we work more nationally in this space? So it calls for setting up a body. It's not a regulatory body. It doesn't have lots of powers to step in. And in fact, it's not there to tell the racing authorities what to do, but it's there to guide policy. It's there to make sure that those gaps don't exist between the states. And, you know, we've got, it would need funding because we've got really, we've got some states that have, you know, vast resources. You know, Victoria spending $8.5 million on welfare each year. New South Wales have invested over $30 million on farms for rehoming and retraining. But other states aren't in that fortunate position. So we need to make sure that wherever a horse retires in Australia, there's an opportunity there for it. And as an industry, we're working collectively to increase those opportunities.
Yeah, it's a wonderful initiative, Tom. How many horses a year would come out of horse racing, would retire out of horse racing? Have you got an idea on the number and what the cost of this would be?
Yeah, so look, in terms of the number, the panel, and it's a guesstimate because, you know, unfortunately, we don't have as good data as we would like. And we don't have that great data, especially when horses leave the industry. But their best calculation, and it is, it's a guesstimate really, is about 8,500 horses leave either racing or the breeding industry a year. So horses that maybe were bred but don't go into racing. Yeah, so it's a significant number. I should say that, you know, lots of those horses are already, you know, I'm sure the majority of those horses are already finding homes already. So it's not like we're starting from scratch at all. And so, look, there'll need to be a further investment, the panel believe. But it's important now, what they've put forward is a strategy. It's up for the industry to grab it and actually actually really put the meat on the bones of that and say, okay, how do we make this work? What level of investment does that need? So they haven't laid out a business case. They've looked at the whole industry and said, look, this is where you need to go as an industry to make sure that this issue of welfare, this challenge of welfare, is being adequately dealt with.
We're speaking to Thoroughbred Breeders Australia Chief Executive Tom Riley. Because, Tom, am I right in saying that's where the chief concern sort of lies? That long after leaving the Bright Lights and the Group Ones, you know, and this is where the traceability register comes in, I suppose, but about supporting the horses from birth, but right up until death.
So you sort of hit the nail on the head there, because we've got, as an industry, we've got this really difficult challenge in that once a racehorse, it's always a racehorse. So a horse that's maybe left racing, been really well cared for in racing, and been really well cared for, gets to the age of 15 and something happens to its owner and it can't, you know, its owner out of racing. Something happens to its owner and suddenly that horse isn't being well cared for. You know, when that happens, it always goes back and say, oh, that was a race, you know, ex-racehorse, you know, mistreated, and it falls back, and people judge the industry on that, even though that horse hasn't been part of our industry maybe for 10 years or 12 years. One of the key recommendations is setting up a safety net, so that as an industry we say, look, we can't guarantee the safety of every horse that's not in our care, but what we can do is say we'll create a safety net. And if you have an ex-racehorse and you can no longer care for it, or if you're concerned about an ex-racehorse, call the number. It's a national number, and someone will go and assess that horse, and we'll do our best to give it another opportunity. And look, that's a scheme that works in the UK really well. And I think it's an important way for the industry to say, look, we do, you know, we're serious about this. We're serious about making sure that horses that we've used later on in life, we can step into the breach if there is one.
We have heard things like this before, though, Tom, haven't we? We have heard of, not to this depth, and I know there's 46 recommendations lobbed yesterday from Dennis Napthorne, but we have heard these discussions before and nothing's really come to fruition.
Yeah, that's, you know, certainly going to be a challenge. But what I would say is I don't think there's been a report as comprehensive as this. Yeah, I actually think this is probably one of the most, if not the most comprehensive report that's been carried out in world horse racing. You know, I've read everything that's been done in the last 10 years, and this report really is, you know, an exceptional document. But you're right, you know, as an industry now, it's up to us, and it's up to all of us to say, do we want to run with this? I know that, you know, from the phone calls, you know, from all the support this has received beforehand. Sorry, I've got some loud birds here. So from the support, just from the sheer number of submissions from people in the industry, they see this as such a big issue. Yeah, it's up for us as an industry now, collectively, to say, yeah, let's take these lessons, let's take these recommendations, and let's implement them.
Tom, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good luck.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity.